Small Supports in Time of Crisis is a podcast series made using extracts from a live webinar which was recorded in July 2020 and hosted by Bill Love from NDTI, in conversation with Small Supports providers Doreen Kelly from Beyond Limits, Sam Smith from Sea Change, and Dave Barris from Positive Support for You. For some people using social care support, the pandemic has meant a loss or threatened loss of rights, well-being, and safety. But it doesn't have to be this way. This series explores how individually designed and led community-based supports have worked to protect both people's health and human rights.
The issue about staffing, what we've noticed, there's been a lot of conversation about in a number of large services where there's a lot of reliance on agency staff, that there've been very significant issues of people moving COVID between services, and actually that putting people more at risk. No disrespect to the staff who had to do that. But has your model of having a staff team that are recruited by and work around one individual, has that been sustainable in the crisis?
Yeah.
Again, this goes back to the organisational planning. So recognising that if someone gets, if it's test positive or with Track and Protect, as it is in Scotland, they may have to take time out on a public health basis. We've had to think about how then you can provide some robustness in the support. So that's not about using agency, that's about making sure that you have the team and then a kind of wider group of people who know that person who can then offer some additional support. So we've done some measures around that, but we've also done the teams have done work around looking at the length of time or how many times people were kind of stopping and starting working and discussing with families, so that you were reducing the footfall, which did mean that people would be sometimes staying over in someone's house for a longer period of time. But if that was agreed by the team, then that's what we did. And similarly, where we had people who there was until the testing got a bit slicker, you know, you then had concerns for a bit longer, so you had to kind of lock down the team a bit. Then team members did exactly that. They stayed with the individual until we got the all clear, which thankfully, again, touch wood, each time we did. But it's just a case of if you've got the right, you don't have to have these conversations with people when people have been matched with an individual. They work out together as a team and with the family how to do what makes sense for the person. And so footfall reduced because team members worked out how to do that.
Yeah,
and that was pretty much the same. It's the contingency planning. So we did individual contingency plans for every person we support. And in those individual contingency plans, it said what PPE that person needs, what their staffing do, what we'll do if we get to a crisis with staffing. So it might be family or step in. It might be that, you know, people, senior managers, including myself, you know, but I would only step into services where I had a connection with somebody. I know everybody, but I don't have, you know, nor do I have the skill to work with everybody. So we had all that planned up front. And I thankfully, we never had to, with the exception of the person I got it and the member of staff stayed there for 14 days. We didn't have that problem in it, but we had contingency plans. And I think this is one of the things that being individualised is easier. So we had teams doing one contingency plan, not 21. So they were specific to that person. They were well thought through. I mean, they were thought through, forgive my language, but they were thought through like to the far end of a fart, really, because they were so person-centred. And if the person's at the centre of everything you do, then every single one of them made sense for people. And I'm not saying we didn't make mistakes. We did make mistakes. And we would have got things wrong had we had to use some of them, of course. The other thing that we done is we were able to have a meeting every morning and every afternoon, and all of those individual contingency plans were discussed at both of those meetings. So we was just stayed right on top of it because it's so individualised, it's not that hard to stay on top of, because you don't have to have debates about, oh, is this thing that the right, or should we do that, or should we do that? And when you're setting policy or implementing actions for four or five or six people, it's quite hard. You've got to do a lot of thinking about what So it was kind of that bit of it, I think, was relatively simple in many ways, because teams and families and the people themselves were creating their own contingency plan.
I would also agree. And I mean, we had a particular issue. We had a number of staff who were furloughed on medical grounds, who were shielding themselves because of their own medical conditions. And we absolutely haven't used agency at all. We strive never to use agency as principal. But we actually recruited, we have over-recruited, but we used our matching processes to bring some additional people in because we knew people were likely to be off for a significant period of time. And it's not about them not coming back, but I was prepared to take the risk of having more stuff than I needed, because it could have been worse than it actually has been, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. It might yet be again. So, mm-hmm. We recruited differently. We used Zoom and all the rest of it for the initial recruitment. So it tested our lateral thinking a little bit. But we took that approach, but very much similar approaches to colleagues.
I think it's also worth, Bill, just very briefly saying something about PPE. So it wasn't just us here centrally looking for PPE, although we were, and we were doing that, and we got a lot, I'd have to say, we got a lot of help from our colleagues in health and social services. They were brilliant, and we got lots from them. But we had like 20 odd teams out looking for PPE for that person, looking for hand sanitizer, looking for hand wash, looking for masks, and that, even that makes that job so much easier to do, because we don't have one person that's the PPE czar, you know. We have everybody in their teams looks for that person.
Thank you for listening. For more information about NDTI's Small Supports Programme, follow the link in the podcast description or visit ndti.org.uk.